Megan
and Nicole, welcome to Dude That's Fucked Up.
Ooh-wee.
We just cheersed our individual champagne bottles.
Hi, it's Erin. Did I already say my name? Oh, fuck. Bitch, I'm fucked up.
We're in Las Vegas.
Oh.
We're just in our hotel room. It's nothing special. We just went on a retreat. We're like, we need to go on a retreat, a creative retreat, and do holistic things. And then we came here and we just have had drinks.
Yeah, it's butt holistic. I keep making that joke just amongst ourselves.
I love it every time.
It's good.
I love it every time. We just drank coconut waters out of actual coconuts because they had them.
Because Vegas.
Also, charge it to the room.
I hope everybody's doing great this evening.
Yeah. Any biz? I'm Erin. No.
Hey, the biz is I am Erin. I can't remember what I said.
This is going to be a good episode, everybody.
Bitch,
y'all, and if you think I'm cutting this out, you wrong.
Okay. Go to the website, dtfupodcast.com.
Good business. Okay, what's your fucked up of the week?
I can't remember. I had it, but I didn't write it down, and then I got drunk, and it plum just fell out of my brain.
Oh, my God.
What about you?
Well, okay, I have one.
Okay.
Last episode, I was talking about how I was like, oh, I think I'm getting sick, but, like, I've staved it off. Think again, Nicole. I got the flu hardcore. Over Valentine's Day.
No.
Yeah. I got it. I woke up Thursday because Valentine's Day was a Friday. I woke up Thursday. I was so fucking sick. I was like delirious.
Aww.
And then, no, it's fine. And then Friday, Valentine's Day, I still was like not good. And then Friday night, I like came out of it and I was fine. But like, it was wild.
Was it the flu?
I think so because I was like achy.
Yeah.
But also I got a flu shot and I've legit had the flu 3 times since then. So like it did not take this year. It doesn't mean I won't get it again. I 100% will get the flu shot again and I might even get one next week.
It's your immune system is just like.
I'm frying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm stressing myself out a lot,
yeah.
Which I can tell. I can feel. I know when I'm like stressing myself out and then that's when I always get sick.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh man.
So that happened. So just in case anyone was like, good for her. She's like staving it off. Well, I didn't.
Well, think about it this way. If you hadn't have gotten your flu shot,
it would have been like
you would have
died. As bad. Yeah, true. It would have been coronavirus Rita.
Yeah,
coronavirus. You know, like Corona Ritas.
What else? I think that's it.
Yeah,
I can't. My fucked up of the week is that my brain's fried from having like 5,000 margaritas thus far.
It's bad.
Oh. You guys, we're going to do this episode, though. Here we go.
I can't wait. Okay, let me do the segue.
Okay.
Luckily, we did all the notes while we were sober, so
mm-hmm.
We have plenty of, like, information to follow.
That's
but
right.
It'll be, like, can
it's
we
be a wild
sell
ride.
It? Can we sell it?
It's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah.
Get ready. Buckle up, motherfuckers.
It might be, like, the most fucking coherent episode we've ever had because these notes are tight. Okay.
Toy and tight.
Okay, segue. And that's what it says. Since
since we're in Las Vegas.
No, but since we are in Las Vegas, we went back and forth. We were like, okay, we want to do.
So many topics.
Yeah, because we're here for our retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, we want like a Las Vegas-y episode.
Mm.
We were like, oh, like Rat Pack or like fucking.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra. Siegfried and Roy. Listen, we're going to cover all those at some point.
At some point.
They have fucked up shit.
We love Vegas.
And we love Vegas. But we were like, what is the most Vegas? And Erin was like, Ocean's 11.
I wanted something like Ocean's 11-esque. What has ever happened in this town that is just like that?
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, not to ruin it, but nothing.
Nothing.
But also something.
Sort of.
I mean, okay, so what we did is we Googled Las Vegas heists, and actually there was some shit. So we picked actually one of the almost most successful heists.
In the last few years.
In the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's ever been a successful one. Maybe there has. We didn't go that far. Listen, we're going to talk about this one specifically.
It's a lot. This man.
Yeah. This man.
He tried it.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about Anthony Carlillo.
Yeah.
And so, everyone, if you could just close your eyes, unless you're driving, and transport yourself back to the year 2010. Mm. People have just stopped giving themselves chunky highlights, and they're no longer wearing jeans with dresses. Mm. But the Black Eyed Peas are huge, and they're on every radio station, and Lady Gaga's wearing a meat dress. So, like, you know, you give and you take.
Yeah, it's two steps forward, one step back at this point. People are still using trash as fashion.
Right, right. We still have trash.
It's trash. Okay,
it's December 2010, and we're at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. Mm. And this is important because I like the decorations at that time of year. It's like very fun.
Very Christmassy, but also, very festive.
Yeah, very fancy. Uh-huh. But also, you just need to know the time of year, I feel like.
Yeah, it's important.
It's important. Also, it's 4 a.m. So it's December, whatever the day is, 2010, is 4 a.m.
It's not popping.
Things are not popping. Okay. We were just down in the casino. Things are popping. And we're not even in a hotel that's, like, known for its casino. It's, like, a fine hotel. But, like, 4 a.m., have you ever been to a casino at 4 a.m.? It's, like, not a popular time. There's not a lot going on. People are either like, super fucked up, or it's, like, super old people with oxygen tanks, or people are, like, passed out.
Yeah, or like, you're up really early because you have an early flight.
Yeah.
And you're, like...
Or you're, like, a cleaning crew.
And you're waiting for the rest of... I don't know. It's, yeah. 4 a.m. anywhere is not great.
It's not great. And that's... So, like, also, I mean, just know this. In Las Vegas, there's not a lot of people around at 4 a.m. It Truly. Doesn't matter where you are. Like, mm-hmm. it's pretty desolate at that time. And that's also why there wasn't a lot of hotel staff around, and also why nobody noticed when Anthony Carlio, a 29-year-old professional robber, pulled his Suzuki up to the curb of the Bellagio.
Not a car, but a motorcycle.
Oh, right. His Suzuki dirt bike.
Yeah.
He just, like, literally pulled it up onto the curb right outside the door of the front of the Bellagio.
Parked it on, like, a little service sidewalk area.
Yep, like, out of the way so no one would hit it. Mm-hmm. And sauntered into the Bellagio wearing full coveralls and a motorcycle helmet, walked straight up to a craps table, and just literally, like, hand-grabbed $1.5 million worth of chips.
Just scooped him right on into his backpack that he was wearing on the front of his chest.
And his coveralls.
And he just scooped him. He had a gun, and he was like,
"These are mine.
These are mine now. Get the fuck out of here." And everybody was like, "Cool."
Yeah.
And he just took all these chips worth $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Scooped him right onto his... Right on into his backpack that was not on his back, but on his chest.
His chest back.
You know how, like, you wear your backpack on your front? That's what he was doing.
His titty pack.
His titty pack.
And he was like, "These are mine."
Yep.
And, like, you'd think no one saw him, but actually, that's not true.
Lots of security cameras in a casino, if you can imagine.
And a lot of people. I mean, honestly, like...
For 4 a.m.
When he pulled up to the Bellagio and, like, parked his Suzuki, he, like... had the balls to wave to the head of security at the time, or, like, the person on duty who was, like, the head of security, which was, like, this old lady who, like, also waved back.
And the whole time he just had his helmet on, and everybody was like, "Okay, there's a guy walking.
Helmet guy."
There's a guy in a helmet, a fucking motorcycle helmet, just walking on in.
Yeah.
Saying hi. It's like...
He seems fine.
It's like Daft Punk just walking around. I don't know.
But it's not gold helmet.
No.
No. It's nothing, just a regular...
Nothing robot-y about this guy. Just very coverall-y and motorcycle-y.
And he's just, like, waving to all the people working there. And they're like, "Hello, sir. How are you?"
He's like, "Hey, Jeff. Day. Hey, Stan."
Yeah.
"Just gonna go grab some chips."
Yeah. See just ya. Gonna saunter in. Which also, like, before we even get further into this, it's like... You think the Bellagio would be the most locked-down hotel having had a heist movie filmed there?
Oh, man. I know.
Like, have you not seen it? Like, do you not know what happened in the movie about your hotel? Like, people took a bunch of money.
Yeah. It's pretty high profile.
But no.
But this guy did it. He just walked in, grabbed some chips, $1.5 million.
Oh, my God. Jumped saddled back on up to his Suzuki dirt bike and took off into the sunrise.
It's pretty genius, but is it? I don't know.
I mean, it falls apart at some point.
Yeah. So,
but he earned the nickname the Biker Bandit. And actually, so this wasn't the first time that he hit up a casino. He actually earned this nickname a week earlier when, after losing all of his life savings, which was $12,000, he robbed the Suncoast Casino. So, like,
that's just outside of Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, off the Strip, right?
I think, or it's like on the Old Strip.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I'm not sure. But he, like, literally 7 days earlier, or like a week, 5 days earlier, went to the Suncoast. I want to say Suncoast Plaza because it sounds like South Coast Plaza.
I know. Well, he went, yeah, he, nobody knew, though, that this was the same person.
No, nobody, well, no. And, like, but he had done the same, he had the same MO. And that was, he rode his motorcycle up to, like, the Suncoast Casino. He parked outside of, like, a side exit. He walked in the side exit. He walked straight up to a poker table, and he grabbed $19,000 in cash and chips right off the table and walked out unidentified.
And this is just such a fantasy of anybody who's, as I'm, like, reading about this guy who was actually not a genius or criminal mastermind of any sort. He was just a very desperate man who
wanted money.
He wanted money and had a severe gambling problem.
Yeah.
And other issues as well. But he, in his rationale, before he had pulled off these quote unquote heists.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call them heists. I'd just call them a smash and grab almost.
Yeah.
But he did plan them out to some degree.
Yeah.
He said he would be at the casino gambling, losing, and feeling like absolute garbage, but also thinking in the back of his mind, what if I just grab these chips off the table?
Oh my God. Okay, who hasn't had that thought?
Yeah.
Because also, like, we're in Las Vegas now. You go to, like, a craps table, a blackjack table, a poker table. There's literal, like, stacks of chips. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars on every table in chips. There just is.
Yeah.
And so, like, to look at that, like, obviously, a feeling of desperation has to play in. But, like,
oh, yeah.
He, of course, if you look at that, you're like, well, what if I just, like, took it?
Yeah.
Of course.
And he lived in Vegas at the time. Mm-hmm. This guy was, he got to a point where that was the only option left to him, which actually wasn't really an option. It was just a very bad choice that he made.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying, like, prior to the Suncoast Casino robbery or heist or whatever you want to call it, he lost his whole life savings, which was $12,000, in a casino. Like, he bet it all and lost it all, and he was just, like, at rock bottom, essentially.
And he'd lived in I forget where he was from originally, but I think he was from California.
I don't know, but I mean, his family lived here. His dad was a judge here.
Well, so what this guy did, he had made some really bad investments, and he just had some, just made lots of really bad life choices. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting in over his head. He had, like, bought a bunch of rental properties right before the financial crisis hit.
Oh.
And then he got upside down on all these mortgages and had to cash out and, like, lost his ass, basically, on all these properties that he
had to move to Nevada with his dad.
He had a bunch of he had some family that lived in Las Vegas. His father was a circuit judge in Las Vegas, and he moved in with his dad. And he was like, I'm gonna get my life back on track. I'm gonna cash in all the money I have, which was, like, at the time, $30,000. He, like, you know, he was trying to, like, be a normal person, but he just was
he
not.
He just couldn't do it.
He couldn't
he
do it.
He just had a gambling problem.
Couldn't get
he
together.
He just couldn't stay away.
Yeah, and this, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're ever, like, in a bad place, do not move to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's not a good place for people who are down on their luck. It's such like a place where you think like, oh, maybe things will turn around, but like they don't.
We were just talking about this. We're like walking around and it's like, why would anybody ever move here? Like, you know how people move places where they go on vacation or whatever, yeah. anywhere there's a resort town. Like we've been to Hawaii a couple yeah. times and you always meet somebody working at a restaurant or, you know, at a bar or whatever, or in some service industry where they're like, yeah, I came here on vacation and I never left.
Yeah, but we were also saying that here, like, if you want to make money, you can move here. Like, yeah. if you want to make money and you don't have a gambling problem, this is a great place for you because there's, like, tons of people here all the time.
Yeah, there's like, and there's definitely different, like, places where you can make money.
Yeah.
But if you at any point in time fall in with the wrong crowd and yeah. or you have the wrong priorities, like, there
– it might not go well.
It's not going to go good. And that's yeah. where this guy kind of landed. He – did not have the right priorities, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
This man wanted to always get rich quick. He had yeah. a gambling problem and a drug problem.
And he, like, later admitted to this. Like, he was like, I had so many people in my immediate family and, like, extended family who were just, like, doing really well and, like, made a good living, and like I just didn't have the patience. Like yeah, he was quoted as saying that.
Yeah, and he's like, I understand that they put in a lot of time and hard work. I didn't have the time or yeah. the energy for yeah. that. It's like, well, I'm sorry, sir. That's not how life works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's where his mindset was.
Well, with both of these robberies back to back within a week. There was nary a lead. Nothing. Like, the local authorities, the casinos, had literal nothing on him. Like, they were like, we have no picture of his face. We have no license plate. They had nothing.
Yeah.
So then he left town, and that was that, happily ever after.
Nope.
JK. He went home to his dad's house, who was, like we just said, a local circuit court judge. And he gathered his thoughts, and he had, like, all these chips, but he needed a way to cash them in. So you think he'd, like, think on that and maybe, like, lay low for a bit, but also, nope.
He sure didn't.
He went back. So the night after he robbed the Bellagio of, like, 1.5 mil, he went back.
He took some of his chips that were, you know,
couple he had that BCE, that big chip energy, you know what I mean? He was like, oh, I have all these chips. They're as big as my dick.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, he just had this, like, mindset where he's like, I just want to go back to the scene of the crime
yeah.
and see what happens. Like, there was, he had.
But he also had such a gambling addiction that it was like, he was drawn to it, you know? Well, like, was it more that he had to
spend the money somehow. He had to launder the money somehow. Because these are chips.
He had to, like, re-put it back into the, yeah, he had to, like, put the chips back into the system to get actual money out. Because yeah. they were just chips.
So he had, you know, chips ranging in value from, like, a couple hundred to $25,000 chips. So an individual $25,000 chip is not easy to – you can't just no. go up to the cashier and be like, $25,000, please.
Here's this chip. Yeah, because they keep track of them.
They keep track of them.
There's only – the Bellagio specifically was keeping track of these because only, like, professional poker players and super, super rich people who they are keeping track of because they're spending money in their casino are the ones that, like, cash these in. So they have the names of everybody. So he knew he couldn't bring those in.
Yeah. And these specific chips, the really high value ones, the $25,000 chips, were cranberry colored.
Yeah.
And they're, like, nicknamed cranberries.
Yeah.
And so he knew that these were very high value.
He left those at home.
Let me bring the
$5, $10, $20 chips in.
Yeah,
he did.
He was bringing in the, like,
and he had a lot of those.
The few, you know, $100 yeah. ones, couple $1,000 yeah. chips. Those ones, like, not, those are nothing. They're nothing to the casino. They don't have to track. They don't have to track.
And they can't. And he was in with those, and he was like, no one knew who he was. Like, there was no yeah. like
he would roll up to a craps table or a blackjack table or a poker table, and like a poker table is where you want to go with these, you know, big stacks of chips, because nobody's, you know, everybody's doing their thing, but you don't get as much of attention as you would on a blackjack table or
you're making like table. Bigger bets maybe.
Yeah. And so he would roll up to these tables and he would be like at these high end tables and he'd just be placing these huge bets.
Yep.
And he did that for a little while.
Like a couple of nights he did that. And then at some point the Bellagio took notice, cuz they do keep track of people that spend money. So, like, if you've ever been to a casino and you've spent a lot of money, which I never have, but people have, they'll identify you either through how much you're spending on a slot machine or at a craps table, whatever. And they'll come up and they'll offer you stuff because they want you to become – so every casino has, like, a players club where you get, like, a card and they can identify you.
And anybody can get this.
Anybody could get this. We could walk down right now and get one. But, like, they do that because they want to reward people who spend a lot of money to keep them in their casino. So at some point they realized, oh, this guy is, like, spending a lot of money. Maybe we should reward him. So they added him to the High Rollers Club. Mm-hmm. They gave him a suite at the Bellagio. They gave him free steak dinners. Like, they gave him so much free stuff, like track suits, like velour track suits. Yeah.
They had like a concierge, like helping, like following him around, booking him
100%.
Like whatever he wanted, like,
and he fucking loved it because that was the lifestyle he wanted. He wanted the lifestyle that all of his, like, his dad and his uncles and his cousins had, that had been like working really hard and like.
Did we ever say what this guy's name was?
Yeah.
Anthony
Carleo.
Carleo, yeah.
Yeah. Tony
Carleo.
Yeah, Tony. So, like, Tony was, like, loving it. And they were like, let's give you all this free stuff. And he's like, yes, 1,000%. I fucking love this stuff. He was living the life he always wanted. And then over the next few weeks. So remember, the heist happened in December of 2010. So the next few weeks, like leading up to the end of the year, he was in the casino blowing thousands of dollars, sneaking these chips in, winning a little bit of money, cashing that out. Like, he was, like, living off of what he had stolen, buying so much drugs, so many strippers. One night, he spent $5,000 at a strip club on a four-hour hand job.
I'm sorry, sir. That is not a good deal. I don't want to know what a four-hour fucking hand job is like.
Like, what drugs are you on where, like, that's appropriate?
That is
like
whiskey.
Come or
dick.
Don't come. Yeah, like, you, sir, you need to come soon or this is not happening. Also, what's I feel really bad that? For that woman because she's just like fucking, like, jerking this dude off for four fucking hours. And what is he, just talking about how rich he is and, like, how he stays at the Bellagio? What a nightmare.
I mean, at that poor point, woman. You got to tap in one of your friends or something.
It's,
I don't know.
It's so rude. Honestly.
I read this part in the main article we're sourcing from is this great Rolling Stone article about this man.
Yeah. Anthony Carleo.
Bellagio 2011 or 2010. Google 2010. That shit.
Yeah.
You'll find a great article in the Rolling Stone. And this part of the article, I just got to 4-hour hand job and had to stop reading and go to sleep for the night because it exhausted me.
No, I just got to that and I was like, wow. Okay, I was like, this man is on a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
But also, like, why is he out there torturing women? Like, he's a psychopath. Also, who wants a 4-hour hand job? Like, I would like to meet a man who's like, yeah, I do not chafe. I will or like, how, like, was she
his dick must have been so raw after that 4-hour.
Oh my god. Or like, are they like sponsored by like oil of a
lay? I don't know.
Astroglide? Like, what, how is it staying like loose enough? Also,
there's so many
layers, and they're all upsetting.
It's they've all been worn away by a four-hour hand job.
It's like peeling an onion that smells like dicks.
An onion dick. I don't know, man.
It's so upsetting.
That was honestly the...
It's the worst part of the story.
It's the worst part of the story.
So he, after that four-hour hand job...
did his mind get clear and did he turn himself in?
No, he never came. So on New Year's Eve, okay, he was back at it. He's like...
He's living his best life.
Yeah, he's living his best life. He's like back at the Bellagio.
Worst life if you want to get down to it.
Yeah. I think it was probably... Well, it wasn't the worst yet. It was still... Well, then maybe the night started off great and ended poorly. He brought a friend and like that friend's lady friend out to Las Vegas from like the East Coast or something. And they were like, oh, we're going to spend New Year's Eve Bellagio, high roller. Like, come out. We're going to do so much drugs. We're going to spend so much money. And they were like, yeah, we'll come out. Well, like, it did not go well. On New Year's Eve, he ended up blowing $100,000 at the Bellagio.
I mean, his friend and the lady friend were trying to pull him away from the poker table.
They were trying to help. And they were like, dude, let's get out of here. And he's like, no.
Yeah, he was like, fuck off. Get off of me. Get out of here. And just totally fucked up on Adderall and cocaine and whatever else. And they were like, this is awful. Like, you need to stop. And he could not pull himself away. It's so sad.
It's so sad. And so he lost a ton of money that night. They left. He was down to like, he really freaked out after New Year's Eve because he was down to maybe like his last 5K in regular chips and cash. Like, he only had the cranberry chips left. And like we said earlier, it's really hard to offload those. So he was like, I still have $1 million in stolen chips, but like,
because
I don't have any fluid cash.
1.5 million. He just blew 500K basically and still had like, about $1 million in cranberry chips.
100K in one night. It's wild. So he started thinking like, okay, I got to offload these cranberry chips. He thought maybe he could sell them. Like, he started to have these like fever dreams where he's like, maybe I could just sell them to a professional poker player. Like, he knew he had to sell them to someone who, if they brought them into the casino, would not be suspicious. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be like, oh yeah, of course they would have these chips. They're like a super high roller. They're professional, blah, blah. So he's like, okay, that's what I got to do. I got to find a professional poker player. He joined a poker player forum.
It's like called 2+2 or something.
Yeah, 2+2.com. Yeah. And it's a poker like website and there's a forum. And he found people on there who were already talking about him. Like,
yeah, there's a whole dedicated thread to his heist.
Oh my God. So he got if a serial killer went on to like a police chat or something, it's right. Like everyone's talking about him and like what he might be up to.
And he even
who
said,
he could be.
Well, and he even said before he joined this forum, like when he was in his like post, he had just robbed the Bellagio in his post fucking, you know, boner mode of
boner mode.
You know, of like,
shout out to Paula, woo woo.
We have a friend whose Instagram is boner mode. But he was like, he was in this groove of where he kept going back to the Bellagio and gambling and sitting down at these blackjack tables, poker tables, and everybody was talking about this heist that had just happened in this casino. And he was like, I could not stop myself from.
It was intoxicating.
It was intoxicating. And he just, because everybody's talking about it and he's just sitting there like, it was me the whole time.
So much attention. Like, of course. Like, yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's talking about
this
you.
This man just must have been hard 24/7 thinking about, like,
I don't think so.
Probably not. I mean, that's why he needed a four-hour
hand job. Yeah. No, I don't think he's hard ever. So
I think he needed to alleviate this boner he had, and he couldn't.
Yeah,
because he was just constantly. He was in Vegas, and that's all anybody could talk about was this heist. God. So, and it was all him, and he wasn't getting caught.
Oh my God!
I don't know.
Well, so he's on these forums. I want to say, or maybe we'll save that for a little bit, but I want to say what his, like, name on the forums was. Did I copy that into here?
Oh, I don't know. What was his name?
It's like, his name on the forum was, like, Ocean Sprays 11.
Oh, Ocean Spray.
Yeah, it's like Ocean Sprays 11, like Ocean's 11, and also Ocean Spray because fucking cranberry. And like where he was from was called, he called it Cranada.
Oh my God, this fucking guy.
You know what? It's like, take like one chill pill. Take it down one notch, bro. Okay? And get like some, maybe get away with this.
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Try to get away with this.
Yeah. This man, he went on this forum and he thought maybe like since he was like in the community and was watching these people talk about the heist.
Yeah.
And they had this like very in the weeds knowledge of the entire, you know, high roller lifestyle. He was like, maybe I could sell these cranberry chips to somebody on here on this forum. Which actually I think is kinda pretty smart. Pretty smart.
Well, because he knew they had to go to a high, like, he was like, I know these need to go to someone who, like, would be not suspicious.
Yeah.
A professional.
Because he didn't want to come to grips with the fact that these cranberry chips were, like, pretty much useless and valueless at this point.
Yeah.
Because nobody was willing to, like, unless you were, like, a well-known poker player, there was no one else on this planet who was in possession of these other than him or a fucking genius poker player who is well known. So he's on this forum though, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna try to figure out how to get rid of these cranberry chips through this forum. Like this is the only way.
Oh yeah.
So one day one of the people on the forum poses a hypothetical question. This guy, Matthew Brooks,
because people were guessing, I guess, or like people were like making fanfic of like what they thought the heist person could be doing. They're like, oh, I bet the robber is doing this with these chips or whatever. Or like, no, it would be smart if he got rid of them like this. So like people were like posting like their guesses of like how to get rid of them.
And he's like gathering all this information. Yeah, he's like,
it's like intel.
Yeah. He's like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll try that. So one day on this internet forum, a dude named Matthew Brooks, who is a recreational player poker player in Virginia, posted a hypothetical question. And his question was, quote, how many potentially worthless cranberries would you accept for a legit 5K chip?
Yeah.
And
so like posing it to the other players in the forum, how many potentially real cranberries, those are 25K each, would you be willing to accept for a real 5K chip?
Yeah. Like that's the trade.
Yeah.
$5,000 for $25,000 basically.
Or $100,000, like potentially more. Yeah. But like how many would you be willing to accept?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
For a real 5K.
So. Carlio, our robber guy, was like, I'm going to jump on this guy's dick and I'm going to try to sell him.
Pick me.
Hi, yes, I'm Cranberries, hi.
Hi, my name's Cranberry-licious. My name's Motorcycle Robber Cranberry 2000.
He's like, hi, yes, would you be willing, he literally, like, this is what he said in his mess, he, like, starts DMing this guy, and he's like, over a couple days, he, like, butters him up, and then he's like, would you be willing to trade four flags, mean $5,000 chips, so 20K, for three crayons.
That's
75K. And if more were possible, how many could you handle?
Big boy.
Yeah. How many cranberries can you fit?
How many can you handle?
So weird. And then this Brooks guy was like, what? And he was like, there's no way this guy is like the
the
robber.
4-hour hand job guy.
The 4-hour hand job guy. He's like, that'd be stupid. There's no way.
Yeah.
Right? And so he starts like, he's like, he engages with him.
Yeah.
And fucking gets proof from Carleo that he's the guy that robbed the Bellagio.
Dumb, dumb.
He's like, here's a pic of some of the chips I stole. And let me, and then he like also told him all these incriminating details about the robbery.
Oh my God.
Like went into detail and like gave him all this. So this guy, Brooks, has all these details, all this information about the robbery. Mm. And he's like, hey, wow. Okay. I believe you. Cool. Sounds good. Maybe I'll buy them from you. Bye. But then he ends up just like calling the cops.
Oh my God.
And that's not where it ends.
No.
It keeps going. So yeah. Brooks calls the cops and the cops are like, all right, well,
we need
to investigate this. They find this guy in the it's really funny. And
well, they find his IP address.
Well, yes. So this is what happens. Yeah. Since he emailed this Brooks guy, they get his IP address and they see that it's like in Las Vegas and it's at the home of
circuit court judge
Carleo's father, who is a circuit court judge.
Something other named than Carleo.
Yeah.
Cuz he had a different name. Something Assad.
And they're like, "Oh, this is a judge's house, like what the fuck is going on?"
Circuit court judge.
And they're like, we can't just like waltz in here and arrest this guy whose father is potentially a judge.
Yeah.
So they're like, we need more evidence. So they need to do a whole shebang operation on this guy.
Yeah.
So they go out and get some intel. And there's one guy who they interview who in the article that we read in Rolling Stone, they describe this guy as like a Joe Pesci from Lethal Weapon, which if
not even the good one, it's like it's not even Joe Pesci in like Goodfellas or whatever. It's like Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Hey, how you doing? Hi. No, he's like super hyper in Lethal Weapon.
They're like, it's like Joe Pesci from Home Alone. What's like Joe Pesci's worst movie? It's like Joe Pesci from Drop Dead Fred or whatever. No, he's not in that. But you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like,
no, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, yeah, where he's like,
what are you guys doing? Hey.
Joe Pesci.
I'm Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
So it's like, this guy is super hyper and he like knows some gamblers out in the Vegas world at this time. He's like, there's this one guy. who has been talking a bunch of shit about cranberry chips. Mm-hmm. And his name is this, blah, blah, blah. It's Tony Carleo. And they're like, okay, but we just need a little bit more information. So they plan a sting operation. And they basically, like, go into the casinos because he's still in and out of the Bellagio, playing on the craps tables, playing poker.
It's a fucking sting operation. They play Fields of Gold on repeat for 24 hours.
So
that's a sting joke.
Oh no!
No, that song. But
So I want to say like end of January, towards the end of January, 2011. Mm-hmm. We've gone past. It's like almost 7 weeks from when he robbed the Bellagio.
Okay.
And he's like in and out of the casino still. He's still got a couple hundred thousand, you know, not 100,000, but a couple hundred dollars, a few thousand dollars here and there. And he's at one point, he's sitting down at the poker table and a older gentleman like sidles up to him and starts talking to him. And he's like, hi, my name's Dr. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So this doctor seems like a legit guy. He like the dealer knows him. He's like super well connected, whatever. And he's like, hey, by the way, I hear you have a lead on some of these cranberry chips. And he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, start playing coy.
Of course, because he's like, I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
And if I tell, like, this seems sketchy.
But also he's
a bad feeling.
But also he's on a lot of drugs, so he doesn't.
And he does have a lot of cranberry chips he needs to offload.
And he's like, he's on his last few hundred dollars. So he was doing okay that past week. So he had a few thousand dollars left, but he's like, I really need to get more money.
Yeah.
So he's a little desperate, but he's cautious and cagey. So the doctor's like, it's fine. I will be in the sports book. Come meet me. I have a buyer for your chips that you may or may not have or have a connection to.
Yikes.
So he's...
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah. It is definitely a trap. But this man is so fucked up and so desperate that he's willing to...
He's not in a good place.
He's not in a good place. And like when you're in Vegas, man, everything's so muddled and weird. I don't know.
If we went down to the casino right now and someone was just like offering me like illegal things, I'd probably be like, well, that sounds bad, but I don't know. Why not?
Yeah. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So does your rap sheet, I guess. I don't know.
No.
So this man meets this doctor in the sports book, and the doctor has his friend, whose name is Dominic, come and meet and be like, here's the buyer. Where's the cranberries? And he's like, I don't know. I'll talk to my guy. And it's all a very, back and forth, like movie-like thing.
Yeah.
Well, he and Dominic end up having this like rapport together. And Dominic like earns his trust. They go out gambling. They go have steak dinners. It's like over the next few days, weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
He like earns his trust. And he eventually starts to give him these cranberry chips.
Yeah.
Over the next few days, and they like do exchanges and bathrooms in different casinos and all throughout Vegas and weird places. And one night, after they have a huge steak dinner,
just those bathroom exchanges.
Well, I mean, they have to be where there's no cameras or anything.
Okay.
And it has to be like very,
bathroom
covert.
Covert. Yeah.
Private.
Yeah.
So one night he like is exchanging some chips, and he's like, I threw in a few more for you because we're buddies or whatever, which is so sad. It's like he like really built.
Oh, Carleo did.
Yeah, Carleo like built this like whole. He thinks he's buddies with this guy.
Well, and he thinks he's getting the upper hand because he's like, these are stolen, but this guy's going to give me money. So.
Yeah, and he's been getting money for them. It's not like he just like, is giving them to this guy.
Right. But he's like, even a couple extras worth it because like if this guy comes back, I can't even use these. So this isn't even like money. You know, like the 25K chips aren't even money to him because he can't turn them in.
Well, he is getting money in return for them.
Yeah, but they're not worth anything to him. He has to get rid of them to
get money. Yeah.
So he's like, this works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's physical fucking evidence of the crime. So the whole time he like built up this rapport with this man was an undercover cop.
Woof.
So the final time they, like, do an exchange in the Bellagio bathroom, only a few feet away from where he had committed his original crime.
Oh, my God.
In the poker room of robbing $1.5 million in chips. The irony is thick.
Oh, my God.
Dominic, this guy, goes, oh, yeah, thank you, and, like, walks out of the bathroom, and then in come six fucking cops.
And he was acting real weird, too.
Yeah, he was
He's like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, he was like, okay, bye.
I gotta go. I have diarrhea. They're like, well, we're in a bathroom. He's like, I gotta have it somewhere
else.
It's
a special diarrhea. I gotta go somewhere else. So he leaves the bathroom. Six cops come in and arrest Carleo. Man. He gets booked downtown and...
No, Carleo.
Yeah, they have all the evidence they need. He admits to everything. He is the motorcycle bandit or whatever the fuck. And he gets booked in jail downtown. And his father, funnily enough, is running for office at the time that he gets arrested. So
the election was like not that far out. It was like a month or two. It was like a month after.
Yeah. So the week before he was sentenced, his dad was ousted from the bench.
He lost
his election. So that was a fun outcome.
Also, Anthony Carleo went to and was in the same prison as O.J. Simpson for a while, which was a fun fact.
Yeah, he was sentenced to 7 years.
Yeah.
And he, I think...
He's out.
He's out now.
If he went, I mean, in 20, like, even if he went in 2011, he's out.
Yeah.
Good
but
for him.
But he, he got caught big time.
Yeah, he got...
Pretty hardcore caught.
I mean, honestly, there's like so many cameras in these places. It's wild that he didn't get caught sooner. The fact that like he was able to go back to the Bellagio the next night and
but
like
he had nothing to you know, identify him.
I know, but that's wild. It's like, cause they don't even have like they weren't even able to get a license plate off of his motorcycle.
Cause he didn't park anywhere near a camera.
But you're like he parked, he, like, drove up into the, like, driveway, you know what I mean? But it's, like...
I don't know, man.
Everything about it is wild. Also, like, that they weren't able to just, like, chase him down. I mean, they were able to chase him down. What, I think it happened in the Suncoast, or maybe it happened in the Bellagio, but anyway, he was, like, running out, and his security person was, like, getting ready to tackle him, and he waved his gun.
Yeah, and they were like, okay,
yeah,
bye.
They were like, never mind, which was the right thing to do,
yeah,
by the
let
way.
Him go.
Yeah. Let him go. It's just fucking bullshit.
But the crazy thing about this whole thing was the Bellagio was fronting the money for this investigation. So So Dominic was, quote unquote, Dominic. Was,
yeah.
That was not his real name. He was playing the part of this man. Yeah. And he was really working for, he was
and playing with the Bellagio's money.
Yeah. He was a Las Vegas Police Department officer. And he had worked for undercover for the FBI before, trying to like bust up East Coast crime families and bosses and stuff. And so he had experience with this kind of thing. But he and the Bellagio were working hand in hand.
Oh my God!
Bellagio was like, "Here's money for all the poker playing, all the craps shit you guys want to play," and they like. Fronted the money for any time that he would buy, quote unquote, buy a cranberry chip from Carleo. They were like, here's money for it.
Dang.
Yeah. And they recovered everything.
Well.
And they still wanted to.
Well, not everything.
No, yeah, they still wanted. He spent a lot of it. And they still wanted to like pursue like restitution for the money they lost. But I don't think that man was ever going to. Recover it. So I don't know. Yikes. It's very wild that this.
It's the real Ocean's 11.
Is it?
No, because no one hid in the safe. No one had cool nicknames. No one had walkie talkies. No one wore a fucking.
This is there Ocean's was... one. This is Ocean's like.
Ocean's done.
Ocean's done. This man.
This is Ocean's 13 because it was bad luck and they went real sideways.
I mean. This was the only person that was involved in this heist, and he didn't pull it off. But he almost did.
Also, he didn't know. Okay, he didn't know gymnastics. He didn't know hiding in a safe. He didn't know. He did not wear a bucket hat that I know of.
He didn't
smoke a cigar.
No.
He did not dress like George Clooney. There was no suit involved. Just a motorcycle
Julia
suit.
Roberts wasn't there.
Julia Roberts wasn't there. Honestly.
He could have gotten away with it, though, if he would have just literally.
Had Julia Roberts. Oh, yeah.
No.
What were you going to say?
No, he could have gotten away with it if he would have just left Las
Vegas. Oh, yeah,
Vegas.
Yeah. But then what do you do with that? You can't. The thing is, he couldn't trade in those chips.
He could have laundered that money. He could have hired somebody to be like, here, take these chips.
They wouldn't have cashed them in because they would have been like, they had a record of everyone that should have gotten those.
Not even the cranberries. Like, he could have just, could have just, like, cashed in whatever
he
had.
I just wasted it by spending it, by not winning at gambling.
And then, like, I don't know. He could have figured.
But those cranberries, those were tricky.
Those were his downfall.
And he should have just gone back to the Suncoast Casino the next night instead of the Bellagio and just taken cash again like he did the first night. So
I don't know. Don't steal anything from anyone.
Yeah, don't steal. But if you're going to steal cash.
But also somebody just tried to steal from the Bellagio like last year, I think.
Oh, my God.
And they got shot and killed.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, don't do it. That will fucking kill you.
Yeah, this shit is serious. Also, it just blows my mind. Like, you're on... Okay, you know how, like, London is, like, so Big Brother? Oh, Las Vegas
is... CCTV, man.
Yeah. Las Vegas is 1,000 times worse.
Why are people stupid?
I don't know. It's upsetting. And well, you know what? On the one hand, I'm like, good for him. He got $1 million in cranberry chips. And on the other hand, I'm like, what an idiot.
He shouldn't have got the big chips.
But it was fight or flight.
This man caught the car.
Yeah, and he didn't know what to do with it. And nope. He was like, whoopsie.
This is what happens when you think you can just make money without working.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
Spoiler alert, you can't.
No. There's always a price to pay.
Oh, yeah. And it's diarrhea.
All right. That's all I got.
Yeah, same.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, this my is God.
A mess of an episode.
We love it.
We love it. We're so drunk.
Oh, my God. We're looking out onto the strip right now. There's so many lights. My nose is so stuffy from all the alcohol.
Oh, is that what happens
when you drink too much? Yeah, I get congested, yeah. Oh,
no.
So, that's how you know now.
Cool.
And we're looking at Planet Hollywood. We're going to go see what's happening.
What's popping?
I also might just go to bed.
Also that.
We don't know.
TBD. Maybe we'll eat another meal.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll eat another meal.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. follow us on social medias.
Yep. DTFU Podcast on all the platforms. You know.
DTFUpodcast.com.
Yep.
Yay, you guys. Be excellent to yourselves.
And each other.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Cheers.